In this podcast, we're really going to explore the idea of things getting bigger with heat, dimensionally bigger with heat, and how you can go about teaching it, and basically some of the science behind things getting bigger with heat. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. Things getting bigger with heat is the formal term for that is the thermal coefficient of expansion. That is the percentage dimensional change. So if you have a meter ruler, how many millimeters bigger does it get? If it's made out of steel, copper, aluminium, you get different expansion coefficients for different materials. So we really want to get into getting a demonstration of that going. And also the idea of it fits getting bigger. It will also getting a larger volume, but the mass necessarily won't change for the actual the weight of it. The mass of the thing is not affected by the temperature. So that affects density and follows into things like convection. So where you heat something up, it becomes less dense. In a gravitational field, the more dense material will displace it and push it upwards as a form of heat transport. So basically we're going to look at a really simple way of teaching this and the use of a device, a pointing device, which will magnify a thermal expansion and a large thermal expansion. So to get this, we're using a nichrome wire, which is a nickel-chromium wire for heater elements. It's a fairly strong stainless steel wire, and I'm going to describe a needle, which is suspended by two wires. So there's a needle either pointing downwards or off to the side. And this is a stick about 10 centimeters long. It can be a drinking straw, or it can be some just paper. And paper, I suppose, if you're getting the students to build this, they should work this out. But if you fold paper in a V, it's a long V section. Say, for instance, so you can imagine it 15 centimeters long and 2 centimeters wide with a fold down the centre, so that's a V stick. You have that attached to a central bobbin or circular holder. It could be a pulley, or it could be a sewing cotton reel. And attached to that, on one side, is a wire of nichrome wire. And on the other side is aluminium wire, length of about 30 centimeters or a foot long. So this is pulled down. It's actually the wires are held taut by a central weight, which is pulling down, acting between through the axis of the bobbin or pulley. So if you can imagine now, there's to the left, a wire starting at the top, going down 30 centimetres, going around the bobbin, and then connected to another material. It doesn't really matter what the actual widths of the materials are, but in this case, you have a system. The system is stable because there's a weight on the bobbin holding it down, pretty much like a tightrope walker holding down a balancing with the centre of gravity down. Now, in this process, you can run a current through the nichrome wire around the bobbin and up through the aluminium wire and out again. So when you have this, you can actually, on command, produce a temperature increase and a fairly substantial distance increase in the nichrome wire. So this is basically almost a current measurer. So as you turn on the temperature, the nichrome wire will expand and the needle will move significantly. And you can calibrate that and calibrate it for, that is, see what temperature produces what angle, or what current produces what angle. So you can actually calibrate that in terms of relative temperature difference. Now, importantly, going from here, students will know that they can blow and cool down the wire with a current going into it. And this is actually, in fact, the basis of a wind aerometer. So we have wires which are cooled in different directions by different winds. So this is a sort of a electronic aerometer. And it's also the basis that if you evacuate the wire will heat up more because there's less gas convection cooling it. This process over here, and that's a let me see, a Pirani gauge. This is a low vacuum gauge which gauges from just from memory about a third of atmosphere down to fairly low pressure. It just measures the relative cooling and the relative resistance in a wire compared to a standard wire. So a Pirani gauge in general is a vacuum gauge. So you've got a wind gauge, a vacuum gauge, and also a current measure, which can be calibrated. So as you vary the amount of current, it will reach a temperature and the angle of the bobbin as the nichrome wire expands relative to the aluminium will measure a temperature difference. Now, again, this is just the the stainless steel bending and expanding and contracting. This has to be devices here such the nichrome wire doesn't burn the cotton reel or bobbin. There's various ways. I'm just assuming that the people are able to engineer this away. So this is an important thing of extending from people's understanding that you can radically change the temperature, and radically and quickly changing the temperature produces a very noticeable movement of the needle. Once this is all said and done, you have something which compares the relative expansion of stainless steel versus the expansion of aluminium. So if you extend this, such this is holding down, measuring a meter of nichrome wire versus a meter of aluminium. So the aluminium, at worst, can be aluminium foil, which is folded up. You then have actually a temperature meter here. And with sufficiently long length and a sufficient weight pulling down on both sides, you can actually measure the relative temperature. So this is actually a thermometer which will measure the relative expansion of the aluminium versus the relative expansion of the stainless steel. Now, just to get across, the smaller the diameter of the bobbin is, the smaller the radius, smaller the difference to create an angle is. So if you have a large bobbin or a large pulley in the centre, it will be less effective. And just going through here, it's the idea of this is to have a demonstration which is clearly observable, so you can actually feel the heat of the wire going up. So it doesn't have to be hot, red hot. It can be hot to touch, and it shows directly a thermometer or current to show the heating of the wire, but also a situation where you've got the comparison different rates of expansion. So, moving off from this, you can have a lava lamp, which is basically I've forgotten what the actual chemical, I used to know what the chemicals were. This is a 1960s, kitsch, sort of lamp that, it heats up and you see, lava, moving forward, I suppose there's that. I'm just watching them. I'm just waiting for my kids out of Scouts to watch them. Oh, I think we're nearly there. No, we've got to wait for a while. Okay, so we've got the lava lamp. Now what we want to do is actually see if we can get into the particle model of the expansion. And it is true that as you heat things up, the average distance between particles expand. But why it does that is not necessarily because the bonds become weaker, but at larger excursions, the oscillation becomes asymmetric. So if you have the distance between atoms, the force of the distance between atoms being a parabolic curve, equally distance, as you heat it up, it will, pull further apart, but it will also push further back in. So one needs to create a model of this, and there's various models you can use with shaped cams, a ball on a stick moving a weighted, got an axis, it's a ball on a stick down to a spindle, which is able to oscillate on a knife edge. I hope I can describe this properly. And you can have a cam such that it cammed to raise two counterweights on a cam. Let's see if I can describe this. And this enables for short extensions an equal restoring force for, say, a diversion from 5 degrees plus or minus 5 degrees from the centre. As you increase the distance much beyond this, you can have the distance on the cam lifting up the weight, the counterweight, much larger, and such that there's a very strong restoring force for one excursion, which is closer towards the side, the next nearest atom, but a much weaker restoring force as it goes further away. And so this softening of the force as you go on more extreme vibrations is the actual basis of expansion, thermal expansion. So your actual inter-atom potential for oscillation, the actual restoring force, the shape of that potential, as it's called, will determine your expansion coefficient. This is a bit advanced, but I suppose for universities you want to actually have a complete story from just one wire having a very definite thermal expansion coefficient, which is programmable and responsive to environment. So you've got the metrology of it. Then left alone, you compare necessarily the expansion of the aluminium versus the stainless steel in this case, and you can have various models with that. So that's the basis of it. You can have a discussion later on of the implications for expansion and density. So the density can drop. Then going forward, you have a model, trying to develop a model. There's about three or four ways I can think of to actually construct a model in which small excursions are symmetric, large excursions are asymmetric. And it's the asymmetric large excursions which causes your thermal expansion and the sensitivity of inter-nuclear bonds or inter-atomic bonds in this case, which explains what's going on. So that's my take on how to actually demonstrate thermal expansion, and it's a key point moving forward to understanding convection and basic engineering to know what a bimetallic temperature compensator can be. So there's a temperature compensation in sophisticated clocks and in optoelectronics. And a lot of electronics and scientific equipment is specially designed to have temperature compensation. There's heaps of examples where you build temperature compensators and devices which have characteristics there. Thanks for listening. This is Peter Hill Explains. Keep on thinking, doing, and teaching science.